You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
Well, we started last week with this incredible new series, Enemies of One. Look at somebody, say, enemies of one. Enemies of one. So if you weren't here last week, you're probably saying, what does that mean? And so let me just tell you real quick that Jesus prayed this amazing prayer that we still talk about today. And Jesus is still praying this prayer up in heaven because the Bible tells us that he's interceding for us on the right hand of God the Father. And so he's there, he's interceding. And I believe this is one of his prayers that he's still praying. But he prayed it in John 17, 21. He said, I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. So we're taking a look at the things that are the enemy of the prayer of Jesus. What are the enemies of oneness in the body of Christ? What are the enemies of brothers and sisters getting along, being unified, being purposeful, and accomplishing things in God? Amen. Anybody interested to know what the enemies of one are? So today I want to talk about this kind of like a doubleheader because they're going to talk about two things. They kind of go together. And so if you want to write down on your paper what we're talking about specifically today, when pride and rebellion slip in. So turn to somebody and say, I'm still going to like Pastor Josh after he talks to us today. You know, this is an important thing for us to talk about because this really can be an enemy of oneness in the body of Christ when pride and or rebellion slip in to our lives. When those seeds have been sown and they begin to germinate in our lives, what can happen? Now, Isaiah and Ezekiel, two prophets, tell us about this anointed cherubim in heaven named Lucifer, and he was in heaven. He was doing his job. He was reflecting the glory of God. He was in the presence of God. And even though he was in this perfect place, even though he had relationship with God, something slipped into his life. Something slipped into his heart. Pride. And in the midst of the perfect unity and oneness of heaven, pride entered in and caused a big mess. Can I tell you, if pride can cause a mess in heaven, It can definitely cause a mess in your life. And it can cause a mess in among brothers and sisters in Christ, right? Now you could sit back this morning and say, you know what? You know, no way. I'm not struggling with pride or rebellion. But let me tell you, if it can happen in heaven and it can happen with an angel, it's possible, it's feasible that it might happen and you are my life, and we might need to address it. So pride slips into Lucifer's heart. And pride, as we know it, led to rebellion. And these two are kind of interconnected in concept. And I was talking to one of the brothers after service this morning after the morning service. And I said, no, I'm not talking about the English version of pride, because sometimes people are saying pride, oh, I'm proud of this person. I'm talking about the biblical definition of pride. And so as we know, pride is never talked about in a positive light in the Bible. No, pride can turn a perfect place bad. You're doing good things. You're on a roll, but then pride comes in and stuff starts going sideways. Anybody ever had things go sideways in your life? Pride can quickly cause division. Pride can actually make you lose your position. Lucifer lost his position. Pride came in. He lost his position. Can I tell you today that when we allow pride to operate in our lives, what happens is we get out of the position where God can bless us. We get out of position for certain blessings that God wants to come down when we're operating in pride. Pride can make you see things the wrong way. Pride can make an enemy. You can make you an enemy of your friends. Pride can even make you an enemy of God, the Bible tells us. Pride drives deep lines of division. So when pride gets into your life, it begins to change you, starts to change you. And God, that's why God doesn't want pride in our life. This is what the Bible says about pride. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be opposed by God. That even just at face value, that doesn't sound like a good thing. I don't want to be opposed. So when I start allowing pride even a little bit to operate in my life, I begin to become at opposition with God. Now, there's something between me and God. There's a wedge now between God, because it says God opposes the proud. So we can't be in full fellowship with God when there's pride activated in our life. Pride separates us from the oneness that we're meant to have with God. And I'll tell you, not just God, but it'll destroy relationships in your life. And it eventually will destroy you if you allow it to. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction and haughtiness before the fall. So the enemy can destroy you if he can put pride in you. The enemy's always trying to sow a little seeds. What did the parable that Jesus talked about? He said there was this beautiful field of wheat, right? And then the enemy snuck in the middle of the night and he sowed seeds. So when we're not awake, when we're not alert to the things that are going on in our lives, sometimes the enemy in an unguarded moment will sneak in the dead of night and stick some pride. I'm not talking about while you're sleeping. I'm talking about when you're not alert. In the spirit, the enemy is always seeking to sow some seeds, small seeds that could germinate in your life that are pride. And it's very difficult to be unified with somebody that's got pride happening in your life. You know, anybody ever have some know-it-alls in your life? I don't know about you, but I'm allergic to know-it-alls. I have to pray for extra grace for the know-it-alls that are around me, because, you know, come on, let's be honest. If somebody comes to you and they're an expert in an area, that's good. You're an expert in two areas, maybe. I'll give you that. Maybe you're a brilliant person and you're an expert in three areas. But come on, you're not an expert in every area. And that thing you've been doing for 2 weeks, you're not an expert in that. Come on, let's be real. But that's the thing with pride. It divides relationships. Pride drives people away. You know, when there's somebody that's arrogant, it's just kind of distasteful, right? And the only person that doesn't see how bad pride is the one that pride is operating in. Right? Everybody else says, ooh, that's kind of... All right. That's kind of ugly. That's kind of ugly thing to say. That's kind of ugly way to say it. And so everybody around the person is noticing, but the person that the pride is operating in doesn't see it. So now that pride, that vanity that we see with Lucifer, it grows into rebellion. And rebellion starts with statements like, you know, I know better than you. I know how to do this better. If I was in charge, I could, you know, make this mess disappear. And so pride became rebellion. And, you know, to tell you the truth, it's hard to get to rebellion without pride. First, you have to have a foundation of pride to get to rebellion. First, you have to say, I don't like what you're doing, and I could do it better. So there has to be a foundation of pride for rebellion to launch off of. If you look at somebody that's struggling with rebellion in their life, you can trace it back to some place of pride. Look at somebody and say, stay humble. Stay humble. That's key. The Bible talks so much about humility. But I think our view of rebellion changes as we read the scripture and we are holding on to God's word in our heart. The more that we read God's word, we realize rebellion is not an option for believers. It's not a part of the plan. It's not a part of what God is doing. It's not there in the word of God. Romans 13:1-2 says, everyone must submit to governing authorities. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. anybody that is rebelling against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. So even when there's times and moments in history that there's somebody that is in authority that is not a good person, we have to recognize that the institution of authority was something that God established. So if not just for respecting the institution that God created, we have to honor authority. So when we begin to understand that all authority is from God, somebody say all. Do you know what all means in the Greek? I did a word study on this. All means all. And so, you know, it causes us to treat those in authority differently. I, when I see something wrong in an authority, I don't go to social media. I take to my knees. My first thought, and our first thought, should be intercession. There are people that are serving in government right now that we need to pray for. We need to pray for, not talk about, pray for, that they start doing what is right, or that they are removed if needed. But prayer is what needs to happen. Christians should be agents of unity, agents of intercession, but not, never a party to rebellion, because God is not in rebellion. What would happen if we prayed more and talked less about our government? I know it's a touchy subject, right? But it's the truth. What if we prayed more and talked less about brothers and sisters in Christ? What could happen in unity in the body of Christ? If we had more unity in our nation, what could we accomplish as a nation? What unity can be achieved without rebellion? Rebellion is something. Rebellion against something or someone is bad. This is what the Bible says, 1 Samuel 15:23, that rebellion is as sinful as witchcraft. Wow, that's a strong statement. Why would that statement be in the Bible if God didn't feel strongly about rebellion and what it can do to our lives when those seeds begin to grow in us? It's not just everybody needs to be, because God is such a God of order, that everybody has to be in a row. No, it's that what it does to our heart and what it creates in us is so dangerous that God says, no, I resist rebellion. And rebellion is just as sinful as witchcraft. Rebellion slips in, but quickly takes over. Watch it, the contrast that we see in Jesus' life. Watch this. Jesus was a man that submitted to natural and spiritual authorities. Jesus made statements like, I only do what the Father shows me to do. That means everything that Jesus did in ministry, every major decision that Jesus made, he was fully submitted to what God the Father was saying to do. He said, I am completely 100% submitted. If Jesus was submitted, doesn't that tell us something about how we should live? And not just that, you know, not just to God, the God that we don't see with our natural eyes, but what about people that God has placed in different places in our lives, in positions of authority in our lives? Jesus goes to John the Baptist. And he asked to be baptized. Why? Because he was recognizing a spiritual authority that was there. And Jesus showed also how he fit into the prophets and the law. This is what it says. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 5:17. Don't misunderstand why I've come. I have not come to abolish or rebel against the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish or submit to their purpose. See, Jesus didn't rebel against the government even. Although there were all the cultural pressures, and there he had a lot of opportunities and a lot of reasons, you know, and even at certain points people were trying to get Jesus to announce himself as king, right? The whole culture was kind of rallying, and all he would have to do is make one statement, and there would be this big uproar. But he understood, and he encouraged the people in Luke 20:25, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. You know, and give to God what belongs to God. What a clear picture. He said, You know, honor natural authority, honor spiritual authority. Give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Give to what God what belongs to God. You know, but the question then comes up: how do we be unified? How do we be submitted when change is needed? Come on, be real with me. How do I be in submission? How do I be obedient to authority when change is needed? How can I honor someone in authority when they're doing the wrong thing? This is exactly where Jesus was. Exactly where Jesus was. There were so many spiritual leaders at that time in history that were doing the wrong thing. They were doing it all wrong. Not everybody, but a lot of people were representing God the wrong way, were governing the house of God the wrong way. The political system was the wrong way. The oppression of the government, it was the wrong things. And so how did Jesus conduct himself in an environment where he could both be in submission to authority, but also be an agent of change? Can I challenge you today? That's what we have to be. We have to be like Christ. And Christ was able to be an agent of change without being affected with rebellion. And it's a careful line to be able to walk. But Jesus made huge changes. Jesus made huge changes, but not in a spirit of rebellion. In a spirit of wisdom and love. We, similar to Jesus, have to do that. We are in a time when great change is needed. We look around. We can turn on the TV. We can watch social media. There's spiritual authorities. There's stuff that needs to change there. Natural authorities. Stuff needs to change there. But how can we be in the spirit of Christ? Do things like Christ to where we can be submitted to God's chain of command. And to a thing that God established, which is authority. But at the same time, be an agent of change. The thing with rebellion is easy. It's a part of mankind to be rebellious. It's a part of American culture to be rebellious. Rebellion is easy, but it's not productive. It's destructive. And rebellion is never satisfied. When you give way to rebellion, it's when you get done ripping one thing down, you're going to rip something else down. If you succeed at that, you're going to rip something else down until finally you're tearing yourself down. Rebellion is never satisfied. And if we took an honest look at the character of God, we will not find rebellion anywhere in God. Rebellion not just disrupts, but can destroy unity. As believers, we have to seek paths to change that do not include rebellion. Whenever somebody asks me to participate in something, I always ask myself the question, is this a way that I can invoke change without being in a spirit of rebellion? And all of us, every Christian should ask that question. How can I change things that desperately need to be changed without being in a spirit of pride or rebellion? The Bible teaches us obedience. We should always obey authority unless it goes against the word of God. There's a moral code that's in the word of God. There's commands that God gives us that are in the word of God. But a lot of times when we're not obeying authorities, it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that it's against the Bible. It has to do with preference. Sometimes we just don't want to listen. Sometimes we just disrespect authority. And it has more to do unresolved things in our hearts. But when we start thinking about how all authority is, it's set up from the top, coming down. And unless we can understand and we can honor other positions of authority, God never gives us our position of authority. See, some of us, we're still taking our test. God is still waiting for us to understand authority before he gives us authority. I've found the more that you understand authority, God can trust you with authority. But when you don't understand authority and you go around disrespectful all the time, God can't trust you. God can't trust you. I heard this great story from John Brevere, and of course it comes from 1 Samuel chapter 1. Hannah goes to the tabernacle to pray. She's distraught. She's barren. She has no child. And she's praying. She's pouring her heart out. She's at the tabernacle. And the spiritual authority comes to her, the high priest. And he accuses her of being drunk. Now she's there pouring her heart out. She's desperate. She is distressed. And he completely misreads the situation, accuses her of being drunk, but instead of her being offended, she has a respectful spirit, respectful attitude towards a spiritual authority that's wrong. And the byproduct of honoring God's authority is a miracle. Wait now. Wait a second. How can God move through somebody that is not perfect? Did God move through you? Did God move through me? Guess what? If you can point to the perfect person in this room, only Jesus is perfect. And so sometimes we have this dynamic where we're expecting natural leaders and spiritual leaders to be perfect people. But if we can just step back and pray instead of letting seeds of rebellion in our heart. And so what happens is Hannah, instead of getting offended, instead of, you know, a lot of us, if we were in a church and we came to the altar and we're praying, we're pouring out our heart, and the pastor, not me, but a pastor came and they accused you of, what are you doing? Are you drunk? We'd walk out of the church and never come back. But not Hannah. Hannah understood something. Hannah understood something. And through that imperfect vessel, God spoke a word, said, go home, and it's done. Go home, and it's done. God wants to move in our lives, but we have to be in position. Please pay attention, because there is going to be a test. There's going to be a test in your life in this area. If you haven't already taken this test, you're going to take this test. If you took the test before, you're probably going to take it again. And here's the test. Somebody in authority is going to do something wrong to you or to someone else. Or they're going to say something you don't like, and you're going to have a choice. You're going to have a choice of what to do. You're going to have the choice of to respond in wisdom and grace and respect, or to be offended and allow seeds of rebellion to start to spring up. This is the choice. This is the test that we all are graded on. Ask yourself, is defending my rights more important than getting my blessing? Is defending my position and defending my wrong, the fact that I was wrong, or the fact that somebody that I love was wrong, is defending that more important than being in the position where God can bless me? The thing is, God wants to get us, and God wants to keep us in the place where He can bless us best. And that's the place where we're not offended. That's the place where we respect and we pray for one another. We pray for those that are here. We pray for those that are struggling. We pray for those that are over us. We pray and we have a spirit of intercession. Intercession brings unity. Pride and rebellion brings division. My dad would say, you can be right and still be wrong. And that means you can be right with the fact that the person was wrong, but then when you become in rebellion to somebody that's in authority, you become wrong. So you started off right, you ended up wrong. You could be right and still be wrong. Such strong words that it says, rebellion like the sin of witchcraft. Strong words. But rebellion is so bad that when it got a hold of some of the angels, they would rather hold on to their rebellion than stay in paradise. Think about that. Rebellion became more important when it grew in their spirits. It became more important than staying in paradise. They said, I'd rather hold on to this pride and this rebellion than let it go and submit and stay in paradise. Rebellion will take you out of position. Rebellion will compromise how you see the world. Rebellion promises better, but always delivers worse. Isn't that true? Rebellion comes in and says, I'm not going to do this because there's something better. And you know what? It never is better. Pride and rebellion. Nobody starts off in blatant rebellion. Nobody starts off in obvious pride. It's the subtleties. It's the trace amounts of pride and rebellion. It's the seed that we allow to germinate in our hearts and in our thoughts that will mess up your paradise, will mess up your journey to the promised land. It will mess up your unity in your family and your unity among brothers and sisters in Christ. We must get any trace amounts of pride and rebellion. If God were to look at us and we were to be a cereal box, would the ingredient list on the side say, may contain trace amounts of pride and rebellion? We have to get it out. Don't play with it. Don't chance it. It's not worth it. It separates us from each other and it separates us from God. Will you bow your head with me? And just reach out and grab somebody's hand and just squeeze it. I believe why God put this word in my heart for you today is because the place of promise that he wants to take us to, we just need to get rid of all the extra baggage. God wants us to be unified, and so that means, and I got to kick pride and rebellion to the curb. It's time to be free. The Bible says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And the Son wants to set us free of any pride, any rebellion. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I think I got a couple seeds that I need to lay that down on the altar today. I got a seed. I got a trace amount. Or maybe I got some full blown. I just want to lay it down. I want to be sure I don't have any trace amounts of pride or rebellion. I want to lay it down. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you right where you are. Amen, 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 amen. This is it. We're just going to lay this down. We're just going to lay this down. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me. Jesus, take out of my heart what does not belong. I don't want it. I don't want the pride. I don't want the rebellion. I don't want the separation. I want to be unified. I want to come into agreement with that prayer. Father, make us one. Father, make us one. I don't care where the seeds came from. I don't care if I sowed them or someone else sowed them. God, rip those weeds out of my life. God, wash those seeds away. I want to live pure before you. Strengthen me to do it. Walk with me in it. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Let's give God the praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.